John chapter 16 and verse 16, if you will. Jesus is speaking to his disciples here, and he says this, "A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of his disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to my Father." They said therefore, "What is this that he saith? A little while, and we cannot tell what he saith." And Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Now, you probably noticed that this is not a Christmas text. I think probably for the first time in 20-something years, it is Christmas, and I'm not preaching a Christmas message. I don't really know why. I don't know whether this is the Lord's leadership exactly. I hope that's what it is. That's what I prayed for. Or just because I've been messed up here for about 2 weeks. You'll have to decide after we're over here, after we're finished. But I believe this is what the Lord would have you hear today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on His Word, the Bible, and on the preaching of it. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace and Your power and Your blessing. And Father, I pray now that You would strengthen Your children by what You have to say to them today from Your Word. And Father, I pray that if there are those here today who don't know You as Savior, that they might come to an understanding of what this is all about, this whole church thing and God thing and Jesus thing is all about. That it isn't a thing at all, but it is a life-changing answer that You want to give them. Father, I pray now for Your blessing and Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. I said that this was not a Christmas message, but actually it starts there. Have you ever noticed that there are about 6 people who are mentioned by name in the Christmas story, and all 6 of these people are remarkably great and godly people? The story starts out in Luke chapter 1 with a priest named Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. Now, Zacharias, the Bible says, was a very godly man, that he walked in all the statutes and the ordinances of the Lord absolutely blamelessly. Now, I think that's interesting because both he and his wife did that, and because of the times in which they lived. You'll remember that in between the 2 testaments in Scripture, there is a period of time in which nothing was written that God saw fit to record in the Bible, to inspire in the Bible. There's about a 400-year period in there in which God really officially said nothing to mankind. Now, you would think that after 400 years of virtual silence from God, that all of the faith would be sapped out of every person who had any faith at all. God had basically said nothing. But what you find instead of that is you find these 6, did I say 8, these 6 godly people who are here, Zacharias and Elizabeth. And then you find a man named Joseph. And the Bible says that Joseph was a just man. He was a good man. And then you find Mary. And Mary is such a godly, albeit very young woman, that Scripture talks about her. And to this day, her reputation still carries that she was of legendary good works. In fact, when the Lord told her that she was going to have a baby, the Bible says that she was rejoicing, even though He also told her that that baby would not have a human father. Now, in our day, for a woman to be carrying a child and there be no father in sight there, there be no husband involved there, that brings some reproach, but not nearly so much as it used to because it's such a common thing. But back in this day, it wasn't accepted at all. And so when Mary was going to be carrying this child outside of wedlock, it appeared, you would expect her to repel or back away from that thought and say, oh my goodness, don't make me go through that. But instead of doing that, she says to the angel who brought her that news, look, whatever God wants from me, I am His servant, I am His child, I'll do whatever He wants me to do. And so she accepted that and then eventually was married to Joseph, her husband, and God took care of it. But she didn't know that was going to happen. She just knew that she's going to be carrying this child and she wasn't going to have a husband. And so here's this woman of great faith. And then after that, there is a man whose name is Simeon. And the Bible says that Simeon was a man who was full of the Holy Ghost. He was a very godly man who waited on the consolation of Israel. And so here was this godly man. And then there was a woman named Anna who was such a godly person that the Bible says that she never departed from the temple but gave herself to fastings and prayers all the time. Now, isn't that interesting? You've got those six godly people right there in an era when nothing was really happening on a spiritual level. There had not been this great revival. And yet there they were, these incredibly godly people. Now, many of you have been around church work and around the Lord's work for years and years. And you've discovered something. There are these people who can hang in there and who can be spiritual and who are walking with the Lord when there's no great revival going on. There is no great activity of God going on. There may even be a decline in God's work going on. And yet those people are able to go on and they are spiritual when other folks are not spiritual, when everything is flat all around them. I want to ask you something. How would you like to be that type of person who is not dependent on the things that are going on around you, but instead you are spiritual deep down inside because of what God is doing in you and in you alone? You know, I found out that dependent Christians, that is those who are dependent on other people, are not that valuable. They're not that valuable to themselves, and they're not that valuable to God. Years ago, when I was in youth work, my idea of youth work was to get all the kids in my youth group fired up for God. And so I would take them on these retreats, and we would bring in this evangelist who was very, very dynamic, and we would pray, and sure enough, we would get them fired up, and they would be all, you know, up about 5 miles high for God. And I thought, hey, this is great. If I can just keep them all fired up for the Lord, if I can just keep them all close to God, everything's going to be good. But you know what would happen? One of them would stumble. And then as soon as one of them stumbled, they would begin to drop like dominoes. Because what they were doing was feeding off each other, and they weren't depending on God. They were feeding off one another. Now, beloved, God wants to get you beyond that to where you are not dependent on other people, but where you walk with God and God alone, and you depend solely on Him. Now, that's where we get to this today. How are you going to get there? You say, Brother Tom, I've tried. I really have. I've tried to be faithful to God. I've tried to be walk with Him steadily, and I've just not been very successful at it. How do I get there? Well, there are a lot of truths that need to be learned. I want to give you one of them today. Jesus was talking to His disciples here in John chapter 11 and verse 16, and He says something fascinating. He says, a little while and ye shall not see me. and again a little while, and you shall see me. Now, that's very interesting. You see, for the disciples who were with Jesus all the time, His presence was normal. In other words, when they woke up in the morning, the first face that they saw was the face of Jesus. They could look across when they were having a meal, and they could look into the face of Jesus. If they wanted to ask Him a question, well, I mean, He was right there. They could just ask Him a question. At night, when they were just sitting around, He was right there. The last face that they could see at night would have been the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, at first, that must have been a real novelty for them. Wow, there's Jesus. But then after a while, it became very normal to them, and they expected to see the face of Jesus all the time. And so it was just a normal thing. And so Jesus comes to them one day, and He slips in this zinger. He says, "A little while, and ye shall not see me." And they must have said, "What? What'd you say, Jesus? We always see you. You're there when we get up in the morning. You're there when we go to bed at night. You're there across at meals. And you're saying, a little while, and we're not going to see you?" And so He says, that's exactly right. "A little while, and you're not going to see me." Now, that must have been disturbing to them, because they were used to seeing Jesus. And He says, there's going to be, in just a little while, I am going to go away, and you're not going to see me. Now, there are two different kinds, at least, of going away, aren't there? For example, a father can go away from the family in more than one way, specifically two. He can be a runaway dad. You've probably heard of that, where there is a dad who fathers a child or fathers some children, and suddenly things get tough, things get hard, or else he sees something he likes better, and through shiftlessness and sorriness, he just runs away and he leaves the family. What he's saying is, what I see out there, I like better than what I have right here, and I'm just going to leave the family. I'm going to go, and I don't really care what happens to you, or if I do care, I don't care enough to make me stay. And so he just leaves the family. That is a sad thing. But the Bible also says, there's another way that a person can leave a family. He is the loving father who gets up on a Monday morning to go on a business trip. He goes out, he gets in his car. When he goes out, right before he goes out and gets in his car, he gathers his children up one by one, and he embraces them. He says, "Now look, Daddy's going to be back on Friday. And all the time Daddy's gone, he's going to be thinking about you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go in a toy store while I'm there in that distant city, and I'm going to buy something for you. And I'm going to call you." So he goes, and he embraces his wife. He goes and gets in the car, goes and gets on the plane, flies to the distant city. When he gets to the distant city, gets on the phone, and he calls them, and he says, "Well, I'm here, but I'm already missing y'all." And all the time he's gone, he's thinking about that family. He can't wait to get back. And all the time he's gone, he's working on things. He's praying for that family. He's caring for that family. Now, which one of those men, the negligent father who was planning to be uninvolved, or the very involved father who is working for which one of those represents Jesus and the way he was going away? Isn't it clearly that involved father? You see, when Jesus was going away at this particular time, it was right before His crucifixion. And by His going away, He was going to do something for those folks that He could not do, had He remained with them. Hope you got that. Jesus went away from those disciples so that He could do something that He could not do had He remained right there in their sight. Now, what is the key word in that whole verse? He says, "A little while, and ye shall not see me." He didn't say, "I'm going away and you're never going to hear from me again. I'm going away and I don't care what happens to you." He just says, "I'm going to be out of sight for a while." Now, can I tell you something, beloved? It is normal for the Lord Jesus to be out of sight for a while. You say, what? That's right. Have you ever been in one of those periods in your life when it looked like everything that you had put your faith in, everything that you believed, everything about that God just wasn't there? You would pray to Him. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, I don't know what's wrong. I pray and it's like the heavens are brass and I can't get a prayer through. I seek God. I try to read my Bible and it's like reading a novel. I just don't seem to get anything out of it. What is wrong? I don't understand. God just seems so far away. A lot of times I tell them, well, ask God to search your heart. But if He does that and you get nothing out of that, I said, understand that that's normal. Because God often does that. God seems, it's like He says, now there's going to be a little while that I'm going to be out of sight. I wish I could tell you that every moment of your life, you will have fellowship, sweet fellowship with God. It will seem like God is right there present with you. But what I read here in the Scripture is totally different from that. Jesus told those disciples, and it's like a microcosm. He said, a little while, and you're not going to see me for a while. I'm going to kind of be out of sight for a while. Now, someone says, well, why does God do that? That just seems to defeat His purpose. Doesn't He say that He wants to have fellowship with me? Then why in the world would God want to be, almost pull Himself back and be where I couldn't touch Him? Why would He want to do that? Well, there is an explanation here. And that explanation is given on up in the Scripture a little bit. Let me move back up here and look at it. Then said some of His disciples among themselves. Now, I love this. When you tell someone what I just told you, that there are going to be times when God is going to seem distant, when you can't really see Him, you just can't see Him working in your life. When you tell people that, it's not something they want to hear. Even though they read the precedent for it here in Scripture, it's not something they want to hear. And these disciples who had gotten used to the presence of Jesus, and their expectation was that that presence would continue, these disciples are looking at this, and they don't want to hear what Jesus said. And it's fascinating. Look at what they said. They said, then said some of His disciples among themselves, what is this? What is this? What is He talking about? What is this that He saith? Now, here's Jesus, who is the Son of God, and here are these disciples, and they're saying, what is this? What's He talking about? It's like they're saying, this is the craziest thing we ever heard of. What is this? You're not going to be here, Jesus. What is this deal? In fact, if you look at it, they say it twice. Down a little further, in verse 18, it says, then said they therefore, what is this? What is this? What's going on here? But you'll notice back up in verse 17, who they said it to. You see, they didn't come up to Jesus and say, Jesus, what is this? What are you talking about? You know what they did? They got over here and buzzed to their friends. What is this? I've never heard of him. What is this? It was among themselves. Have you ever noticed when you're mumbling against somebody, you don't go to them? If I'm mad at Bill right there, I don't go to Bill and say, Bill, what I do is I go over here to Christian and I say, Christian, let me tell you about Bill. What is this that he's doing? Isn't that funny? And so when you're murmuring on God, it kind of works the same way. Don't look so innocent. You know you do. Every time we say, this just doesn't seem right, and we're not talking about somebody, we're just talking about something that has happened, and we say, this just not right. I don't know why this is happening. You know what we're doing? We're looking up at God, and we're looking at our friends about God, and we're saying, what is this? What is this? And then, the real clincher comes along. They said, we cannot tell what he saith. What is he saying? In other words, this doesn't make a lick of sense. You're always in trouble when you start judging God's actions by your own meters. When you say, if it don't make sense to me, it doesn't make sense. If I don't understand it, then it must not be right. That would be like me going into a college trig class and saying, that problem you got up on the board covers up the whole board. It's not right. I don't understand it, so it's not right. Wrong. I, who made a 70 in Algebra 1, I go up there and I say, that trig problem, that's just totally wrong. I don't understand it, therefore it's wrong. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of these people who, if they don't get the joke, it's not funny. You can always spot them, you know. Everybody else is rolling in the floor laughing at the joke. And they're over there. You say, what's the matter? You didn't get it? Oh, yeah, I got it. In fact, there wasn't nothing to get. This wasn't funny. You just didn't get it. Oh, I got it. I got it. Huh. I got it. Nothing to it. Explain it to me. Look, this wasn't nothing to explain. It just didn't make sense. And so they make themselves the final arbiter. And so these disciples come upon this truth that Jesus has given them, that there's going to be this period of time when he's going to be out of sight. And that fellowship that they've had all the way through is going to be they're just not going to be able to see him working for them. See, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to go away and I'm going to stop working for you. What he was doing was, he was going away so that he could do something for them that he couldn't do while he was present. It reminds me of soldiers who go out and fight for our country. Now, we would like to have their fellowship here all the time, would we not? But they're going away to do something for us that they couldn't do were they here. Now, beloved, it's the same thing. Sometimes Jesus goes away. Now, you say, what in the world could that possibly accomplish? Beloved, I want to tell you something. There is a principle in Scripture. It's called the principle of faith. And you know what faith is about? Faith is about believing something that you cannot see. You remember what Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of what? Things not seen. And so Jesus looked at those disciples. And in essence, he said, now look, you've seen me all this time. You've known how big and powerful I am. He says, are you going to believe in me and are you going to trust me when you can't see me? And so he went away. He actually was doing more. See, what he was doing is he was going away and he was dying for their sins. And he was going to be kind of out of sight there. And he died and he was buried and he was totally out of sight. But he was doing something for them. He was paying for their sins. But they couldn't see that. They were just kind of blinded to it. It didn't really hit them until after the resurrection of what was going on. And so, beloved, what I'm telling you is there are going to be these times in your life when God's not going to be visible. You're not going to understand what he's doing. One of the joys I have as a pastor is to watch and meet a lot of the great men and women of God. I have opportunity to talk with them, both those who are in full-time Christian service and those who are in churches just like this. And I found something about them. They are invariably people who are men and women of faith who will trust God, have learned to trust God when they cannot see him. If they get sick and they don't understand what's going on, they trust God. If they have a reverse in their life, they trust God. If they lose their job, they trust God. If someone in their family gets sick, they trust God. I have been down to the hospital when someone has lost a loved one, and I found these great people, and they are there, and they're trusting God. Oh, they're choking back tears. They are, in many cases, weeping, but they'll look up, and they'll be breaking those tears, and they say, "Oh, Brother Tom, I know God knows what He's doing. It's just that I'm just so broken about this. I'm just so upset, I'm so torn up. But God knows what He's doing." And they are people of faith. And Jesus said, "Look, disciples," He said, "you've got this expectation that I'm going to always be there." He said, "But you've got to understand, there are going to be times when I'm going to be out of sight. You're not going to know what I'm doing." He said, "But you need to have the faith to understand that sometimes I have to go away and do things for you that I could not do. And one of the main things I'm doing in that moment is I'm teaching you how to trust me and how to have faith." Can I ask you a question? How good are you at trusting when you can't see? When you just can't see. How good are you at trusting when you can't see? See, we all start out like those disciples. "What is this? This is ridiculous. Why is it? What is going on here?" And it's almost like if we had the backbone, we'd say, "God, where are you? You know, I don't see you. You know, you said you'd be with me." And did you notice, have you ever thought about what Jesus said when He went back to heaven? He told those disciples, He said, "Go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel," so on like that. And then He said, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Did He mean they were going to be able to see Him always? He says, "I am with you," but the obvious meaning, since He went back into heaven, was, "You won't see me, but I am with you." Beloved, let me tell you something. When you grow to that point where you're able to trust God when you can't see what He's doing for you, then God has given you, granted you faith. Then you've grown. You say, "Brother Tom, how do I get there?" Well, here's the kind of downside of this. The only way you get there is by going through those times. The only way you get there is by failing sometimes. Have you ever just been going through one of those times when God seemed to be totally absent, when you couldn't see Him, and get mad? Just get mad. Reminds me of Jonah. You remember Jonah as he was up there at kind of at the end of the story, and he's kind of mad about what God's done. He doesn't like what God's done. God saved all those Ninevites, and Jonah's kind of mad about it. Didn't fit into his bigotry. And he's just kind of angry. And so he's got his arms crossed and he's sitting under this vine and just kind of mad about it. You ever find yourself like that? You just don't like the way things are turning out and just kind of ill about that thing? Look, just go ahead. Be ill and watch what happens. You know, it's interesting. When you look at that story, you don't see the conclusion of it. God, it's like God just kind of leaves him. He shames him a little bit, but He leaves him under the vine, pouting. As one who has been left under the vine, pouting quite a bit, quite a few times, can I tell you that you can only sit there so long? You're under there pouting, and you're pouting, everybody else goes to bed. Just kind of pouting. This is not working out like I want it to. And God says, "Am I still alive? Am I still with you?" Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like it. "I can't see you. What are you doing?" "I can't see it." He says, "That's right. You can't see, but do you believe anyway?" You see, my job as a pastor is to take you where no human being has gone in his own flesh before. You can't get here by the energy of your flesh. God has to come to you while you're sitting there and pouting about something, about the fact that God doesn't seem to be there. He has to come to you and grace you and help you. And you know how He does that? I've been sitting there and mad and said, God, if you don't get me out of this, I'm going to be mad in the morning. God help me. Sometimes I had a bit of inflammation. He said, you're going to have to go through some times that are not altogether pleasant. Have you ever heard any of these TV preachers that are always telling you that every moment of your life, you're supposed to, it's going to be great? Everything's going to be great? Is everybody happy? That's the way God wants you to be, 24 hours a day. You never sleep. You're just happy. Just happy all the time. Well, the words of Jesus are, you are going to have sorrowful times. Look at there in your Bible. There's going to be sorrow. You're going to grieve sometimes. That's just kind of the way it is. But it's part of that faith-building process. It's part of what God is doing in your life. He's building faith. At least that's why some things that you try to get to work out just won't work out. Have you ever noticed that? There has been a door that Lisa has been trying to walk through for 2 years. I'm kind of on the inside track of this. I keep recommending her for it, but apparently my recommendation doesn't mean a whole lot. And we've been trying to pry this, trying to get this door open for a good little while. Debbie, I finally sent them a letter this time. They ain't never got a letter like this. I said, look, I said, we know what you folks are about over there. We've worked with you for a long time. And I said, what you need to do is look over some of those other applications and look at this one right here. I said, because this one is better than all those others. I wrote that in the letter. Because I really believed it. You know, I just told them. I sent that letter to the Wilds, by the way. You know, you need to throw away all those other applications. Look at this one right here. And I haven't gotten any response from them. I don't know what happened. They may have put a big black X on your application, Lisa. I don't know. But anyway, the whole point is there are going to be these times where it just won't work out no matter what you do. It just seems like God has died, but God has not died. You've got to believe He hasn't died. He is there and He is working. And what I find is that those who can believe God is working, and when they don't see it, when there's been 400 years of silence, there was Mary, and Mary had faith. There was Zacharias, and Zacharias was still walking along and being godly. There was Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is godly, even though she wanted a child so badly and couldn't have one. God is looking for those folks who can see what can't be seen with the eye and believe what can't be believed. Jesus gave him an illustration. He said, this is misery. He said, it's just like a woman in travail. Now, I dare say that since we have mostly adults in this building, most everybody in this room right now has either seen a woman in travail or been a woman in travail. That means in hard labor. That is a sight. I have been there on numerous occasions. On two occasions, I got to stay for the whole thing because it was my wife. Most of the time when the screaming starts, they run the preacher out. And the blaming. You know, when she gets to the point where she looks at her husband and says, get away from me. She has a good memory, you know. Get away from me. But most, and he says, look, this time when you're having to trust, when you can't see, is like that labor, that hard labor. It is a pain, and a continuing pain, an unbearable pain. He says, you hate it. He said, but, says, when that baby is delivered, my, what a different story. Have you ever noticed that the mother who delivers the baby doesn't have to bond with the baby? She is already bonded by the pain. I went through that. Kara, our first child, was born. And Bonnie was right there. And instantly, she looked down at this little baby and she called her by her name. I thought that was really curious. I mean, really. I looked over at the baby and I said, huh, it's got dark hair. She looked up at me with this most disgusted look. This is Kara. This is not an it. Men have to have the bonding time after the baby's born. I mean, we have to kind of get to know that little thing. And then it kind of becomes a person. But the mother knows all along. Now, what I'm telling you, beloved, is that when you go through these times, when you cannot see God, when God is far off, it is misery. But what it does is it makes the result of that so much more precious to you. You are bonded with that thing. You know, as I watch believers, I think there needs to be more understanding and more preaching of the ways of God. Where God, it's like He has to force you to learn to be people of faith, or He knows you will be spiritual failures. He has to force you to learn to trust Him when things are just not working out. When it looks like God, when God's just kind of out of sight, and you have to learn, but when that thing is over, my, what a blessing it becomes. What a great thing it becomes. You see, one of the things about being around great Christians is that you see them at the end of all this. When that faith that they placed in God, when they couldn't see, when it comes to full fruition, when the fruit comes. I wish I had another half an hour, but I can't do it. Let me tell you one story. Ray Thompson is a veteran missionary down in the Caribbean. He is on the island of Antigua and has been there since the 50s. He is way past retirement age. You know Ray Thompson. Ray Thompson's a great guy. And he went down to there. There was really no gospel work on Antigua when he went down there, so he had to just start from scratch. And so he had graduated from Tennessee Temple, Miss Elizabeth, so he went down there and he knew that Dr. Robertson, one of the ways he reached people was he got on the radio. Well, there was, got on the radio, got a 30-minute radio program, and back in those days, everything had to be done live, the way I understand it, and so he would have to get up on Sunday morning very, very early, way before daylight, and go over there and talk into this microphone. Now, he wasn't looking at anybody. He was just talking to that microphone. So what he did, he had to do by absolute faith, utter faith that God was going to put somebody on the other end of that and make them listen. Now, Ray would sleep as long as he could sleep. Then he'd get up and review his message a little bit, rush over to the radio station, speak into that microphone, preach. One morning, he was over there and he was preaching away about 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And so he was preaching and he said, all right, blah, 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 and preach the gospel. And he said, by the way, he said, if you're in the area on this side of Antigua and you don't have a place you're going to church this morning, he said, you still have time to get to Calvary Baptist Church where I'll be preaching this morning. And so he just said that into that microphone. He couldn't see anything. He couldn't see God. He couldn't see the people he's talking to. He just said, you still got time. He believed that there was someone out there that God had put out there. Now, move in your imagination, if you will, over to the harbor in Antigua. At that moment, there was a boat there, a yacht. And on that boat, that yacht, there was a man and woman, presumably a wealthy man and woman. And they were just getting up, going to have their breakfast. The wife got up. She looked exceptionally tired. And as she looked exceptionally tired, she looked at her husband and she said, in my sleep last night, I didn't sleep well because I kept hearing in my sleep this man's voice. She says, weird. It was eerie. Just kept hearing this man's voice. And so about that moment, the husband had apparently been listening to the weather on the radio station. And about that moment, a voice came on. It was Ray Thompson's voice. And the woman whirled around, looked at the radio. She said, that's the voice. That's the voice I've been hearing. And so they went over there and attentively began to listen to the radio. Ray Thompson preached the gospel, and he got to that end where he said, you still have time to get to Calvary Baptist Church and where we'll be preaching. I'll be talking more about the Lord Jesus Christ. You still got time. She looked at her husband. She said, we've got to go. This guy's been talking to me all night. And so she said, we've got to go. And so they got off the boat, went over there, hired a taxi, went over to the church, and guess what God did? God saved both of those people that very day at Calvary Baptist Church in Antigua in the Caribbean. Now, beloved, you wonder why I tell that story? I tell that story because here was a man who was walking in the dark. He could not see God. He couldn't see what God was doing. He was just talking into a microphone there in a lonely radio station, preaching the gospel, but he visualized with faith's eye what God wanted to do, that God had someone out there that he was working on, and he began to talk to that person. He said, you still got time. And there was someone there. Now, beloved, what I'm telling you is that God would love to use you in that same way. That in order to use you in that same way, he's got to get you to the point where you can believe that God is there, that God is working even when you can't see Him. Even when you can't see Him. That you believe He's working when you can't see Him working. That is a great moment in your life. You say, how will I get there? Well, it could start right now. What's going on in your life that it just seems like God's a million miles away from? That you can't seem to get an answer to prayer about? Maybe your fellowship with God is just not right. You don't understand what's going on. Would you look at God right now? You say, I can't see Him. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Would you look up at where God says that He is and say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. God, give me grace for this hour. Help me to become a real believer. See, a believer, biblically defined, is not someone who looks at Jesus and believes. But the Scripture says, Jesus, whom having not seen, you love. Whom having not seen, you love. There was a moment, if you got saved, there was a moment when you heard about this man, Jesus, who was the God-man, and you believed. What I'm asking you to do right now is to continue to do the same. You never saw Him. You just believed in Him. You've seen Him work. You've felt Him work. But now it seems like He's not working. What will you do? Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him? With every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment.